Thank you for being here this evening. We're glad to have you with us and to study together from God's Word. We just sang several times in the chorus of that song, "To God that I trust in Thee." I want to think about that with you tonight, because throughout the Bible we are exhorted again and again to trust in the Lord. We're warned against trusting in princes or in riches or in ourselves, for all of those things are vain. Trusting in the Lord is represented throughout God's Word as something that is safe, something that is blessed, something that produces very desirable results. So obviously, as we read that, that's something that we want to be able to do. And it's our hope and our strength and our safety and our help from all of those passages that we read. But what does that mean? What does trust mean? I want to examine that for just a few minutes as we start the thought process going this evening. It doesn't mean just a carelessness or an indifference, just to let things go and say, well, I guess it will come out all right. I trust everything's going to be fine. Trust is not that. Just drifting heedlessly with the tide is not trust. Neglect is not trust. Trust is something that is positive. It is a real something. It's not just a happenstance or a maybe so. It is a definite attitude of the soul and of the mind. It's a realization, as we look into God's Word, it's a realization of our own need and of God's sufficiency. It's reaching out and anchoring ourselves in God. And as we consider trust as we find it in the Bible, we have to also remember that trust is something that we yearn for and that we look for just in life in general. When we think about trusting as humanity, we put a lot of ourselves, we put a lot of investment in trusting. If you have ever read any books written by Stephen Covey, one of the things that he said about trust is that trust is the glue of life. It is the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It is the foundational principle that holds all relationships. And as you consider the relationships that you have throughout your life, you realize how important trust is in those things. From a human point of view, trust is not a matter of technique or tricks or tools. Even in the world, people look at that trust as a matter of character. Are you trustworthy? Can I trust you? What does all that mean as we consider that? Trust is something that is not instantly gained. It's something that is built and maintained by small actions over time, by consistency, by building confidence. In the front of the bulletin in the introduction tonight, it talks about the fact that it may take years to build trust and seconds to lose it. As you consider all of those things, remember that trust does not mean just shutting our eyes to the facts. There's no such thing as blind faith. And sometimes, as we'll notice later, people kind of put trust and faith hand in hand. And though they're similar, they're not the same thing. Trust looks at things as they are, if we truly are engaging in it. It sees the dangers that threaten, and as we look into God's Word tonight and think about those who have trusted God and what trusting God means, it doesn't mean just looking away from everything and hoping it turns out well. It sees the dangers that threaten. It assesses them at their value. Trust sees the need and does not try to disguise it. It sees the difficulties. It does not try to discount them. But seeing all of this, having trust, trust looks beyond and sees God, the all-sufficient help. And I hope that's what we'll be able to see tonight as we look through His Word. It sees Him greater than the needs or the dangers or the difficulties and does not shrink before them. That's the kind of trust that we need to have in God. That's the kind of trust we want to be able to build. So the word translated trust in the Bible literally means in several different places that it's a bold, a confident, a sure security, or an action that is based on that security. So trust is not exactly the same as faith. Rather, trusting is what we do because of the faith that we have. We build our faith, we understand God's Word, we read it, we comprehend it, we look at the promises, we see the things that have been fulfilled, and we gain faith. And then because of that faith, we trust. Trusting is believing in the promises of God in all circumstances, even those where the evidence seems to be contrary to what would actually or could actually happen. Hebrews 11, for instance, talks about faith. We're all familiar with that passage of scripture that talks about all of the examples of faith and all of the things that they did over the years and how they had faith and how that saw them through. And having faith is accepting and believing the truth that God reveals about himself. And we see that revealed through, especially through his son Jesus Christ. But a practical consequence of faith in God is trust, is trusting him, which we prove by living out our full acceptance of God's promises every day. So as we start to think through some of these and look at some passages of scripture, trust is one of the main foundations of all of our interactions, and certainly then it has to be a foundation of how we walk before God. All the relationships that we have, marriages and relationships and families, society, cultures, all depend on trust. So it's essential to understand then how God teaches us to have that and how he teaches us about it by his very nature and through his wise dealings with man. Which leads us to the first question that we want to consider together tonight. Should I trust God? Now, immediately many people might say, well, sure, yes. If you're going to trust anybody, trust God. Why? Why should I trust God? Trust is, as we said, is a practical consequence of faith. So we need to look at the reasons why we should trust God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 is one of the foundational verses in the Bible about trust. And it teaches us there, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. This word trust, as it's used here, depending on where you look at definitions, in one place it has the idea of a lying down before something. And you consider someone who is very trusting of someone else, that they're willing to lie down in front of them as they drive by, or lie down in front of danger. We think of how different colleges or kids at camp play games to build trust, falling backwards into the arms of someone else and waiting for them to catch you. Here the proverb writer tells us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not to lean on our own understanding. And as we consider that, the reason that we need to do that is because man is imperfect. Man is not the one that we can put our trust in. When you go to Romans chapter 3 and notice some verses here as Paul is discussing different things, he bears out for us here, the Bible makes clear that every human being is flawed with the exception of Christ Jesus as he was here on earth. And our natural tendency, though, is to seek our own interests. But we realize that in all of the relationships that we have, if you've ever had an issue with trust or if you've ever had trust broken, you realize that man is not perfect. Paul says here in the midst of this discussion with those in Rome, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one, in comparison to Almighty God and what he is able to do. Man makes promises. Man says things. Man wants to trust sometimes, but sometimes we wrestle within ourselves about what it is that we can do or want to do or are able to do. Romans chapter 7, Paul has that battle within himself as he talks about the back and forth and the spirit and the flesh and going back and forth, and sometimes we have that wrestling between us. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 17, he says, so now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For what I do not do, the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. That's the challenge that we have as humanity. But we're asking, should we trust God? Well, God is different. When you look at what the Bible says about God, Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10 very clearly points out to us, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who see you. God is trustworthy. And we could spend all night going through the Bible and finding all of the Proverbs and all of the Psalms that show us that God is trustworthy and that he does what he says and that we can put our trust in him. But just noticing some of these verses that solidify that for us, realizing that God is different than man, here in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 and verse 4, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. In other words, should I trust in God? Yes. I should put my mind in him. And he goes on to say here, because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever, and the Lord God, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. We try to trust in one another, and we try to build trust with one another as well we should. And we should try to be like our God and be trustworthy people, but we can depend on God. He is the rock. He is completely different. He is 100% dependable, and he is trustworthy. And the Bible often emphasizes how God can be trusted in ways that humanity cannot. Here in Psalm chapter 118, in verse 8 and 9, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And we mentioned that a little bit ago. There are lots of things that the world would desire for us to put our trust in. Should I trust God? Absolutely. The Bible shows us that over and over again. Sometimes it's difficult to understand things as we think about trusting in God and why and what we should do, and we face difficult situations in our lives, and trusting God sometimes is hard. You remember this incident over in Mark chapter 9 as Jesus walked the earth, and there was a man who had difficulty with one of his children. And he was looking for someone to be able to heal him, to help him. Others had tried and failed, and he sees Jesus, and he makes this statement, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. He knew that something could help him. He wanted to know, was it Jesus? Sometimes trusting is difficult. Sometimes it's hard. And when you face situations in your life that seem extreme, sometimes trusting is difficult. We'll get to what that means here in just a moment or two. But God has shown us that he has our best in mind. And when you look at these passages that show us God's care for us, his plan for us, the fact that he has foresight and knowledge, the fact that he made a plan for sinful man, that should show us that yes, I should trust in God. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, as they consider the captivity that they have been in and what's going to happen after, this is what the prophet says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the kind of God that we serve. He wants us to call upon him. He wants us to give ourselves to him. He wants us to trust in him. Verse 13, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, when you put your trust in me, when we have confidence in him. We find other passages that point us in that direction, that God is seeking our best. Here in Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him. And you notice what it says next. And he will act. We talked about that Wednesday night, about Daniel asking God to act. God will act. We can trust in him that he has our best interest in mind if we are giving ourselves to him. It says he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as noonday. In Psalm 56, sometimes we have fear. There are things that we must face. Should we trust in God? Absolutely. He says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Tonight, as you think about these questions, where do you put your trust when you are afraid? All of us want to say that it is God, and I hope that it is. But when you are faced with news that you were not expecting, when you are faced with a situation that has suddenly come upon you, that's going to change the path of your life, who do you trust in? Do you immediately turn to whoever it might be on earth that can help you? To a doctor, to a lawyer, to an employer, to a friend. It's good to have support. It's good to be wise and use what God has given us. But this verse tells us, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Whose word I praise? In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. And here's the question that all of us need to ponder. What can flesh do to me? We can think of some things that can happen to us. We can think of how our life can change for the worse while we're here, but what can man do to me? I trust in God. He has my best in mind. When you realize that, we remember that he is all of the things that man is not. It's interesting to ponder that. When we thought back in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. this verse kind of summarizes the Bible's teaching on trust. But first, it is the Lord to whom we are trust, and not ourselves, not our plans, not our certainties. God can do everything that we cannot. Here in Psalm 111 and verse 7, the works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. We can't say that about mankind. Hopefully, as we surround ourselves with good, faithful servants of God, our life gets more and more trustworthy, and we have people that we can depend upon. We have a network to encourage us and to build us up. But ultimately, God is trustworthy. Man fails. Psalm 25 and verse 10. Again, what do we find here? All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. That word faithfulness is interesting to ponder sometimes. It goes hand in hand with trustworthiness. God has said something, he will do it. And as that happens over and over, what happens? We build trust. We can look back through history and see where he has done that. We can have trust in him. Should I trust God? Yes. For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies, for those who give themselves to him, God is certainly trustworthy. In Isaiah, he prophesies this. He says, declaring from the end of the beginning and from the ancient of times, things not yet done saying. Here it is, declared about God. My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish my purpose. I don't know about you. I want to be a man of my word, and I try. And I set out to do a lot of things, and sometimes they don't go like I think they will. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I say I'm going to do this, and I can't get it done. It happens to me more than I wish that it did. Probably happens to some of you. God will accomplish his purpose. What he has said he will do, he will do. So should I trust in God? Yes, absolutely. But that brings another question. Can I trust in God? You may think, well, are those the same thing? Not really. Should I trust in God? Yes, the Bible is clear about that. We see who God is. We see what he is. Compare that to man. Should I trust in man or should I trust in God? Clearly, I should trust in God. But can I? Can I depend on him? Can I trust in him? Well, what do we find as we look back to his word again? And what does history bear out? What do we see that has happened? Because trust is built on, as we noted earlier in that quote, small things that happen over time that build our confidence. That should be 2 Corinthians. In your bulletin, hopefully it's right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 4 through 6. Here Paul, in the midst of discussing something else, bears out a truth that we can pull into our thoughts this evening. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. And he goes on to say why. Can I trust in God? Well, as we look back throughout time, as we look back throughout examples and instances, we see that the wisdom literature writers were able to trust in God. Back in Psalm 18 and verse 2, here we find more basis for some of the songs that we sing. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold. How many terms are in this short verse that describe the magnitude, the majesty, the ability of God? We've been studying Wednesday nights about God as creator and lawgiver and provider and protector and shepherd and covenant maker. All of those things he has done for his people. We see throughout history what God has done. This verse bears out that, yes, I can trust in God because all of the things that he has done throughout time with humanity has shown that he's willing to be these things for us. We sang a song a few minutes ago about trusting in God. Here from Psalm 25 in the first couple of verses there. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. I want to put my confidence in the one who can do something about it. Can I trust in God? Yes, absolutely. We see that throughout the pages of this literature. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, the writer there, as he comes near the end of all of the things that are being written, every word of God proves true. I can't say that about humanity. I can't say that about myself. There have been times in my life where I have said things that were not true, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Not so with God. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Can I trust in God? Yes. I absolutely, positively can. But it's not just what wisdom literature writers have told us. When you think back to our definitions of trust, of Bible trust, and we think about what God does and how he has acted and interacted with his people, consider just a couple of examples. Abraham trusted God in a very difficult situation. This is one that you know. We're not going to examine everything about it, but just notice a few verses with me in Genesis 22 as you consider what happened here. Abraham was given a promise by God. Abraham did not have a son. Abraham was outside the realm of being able to naturally do what he needed to do to have a son. And we read this story and we think about it over time, but consider what really happened here. If this was you and you had no children and you were made a promise and you can't fathom how this is going to happen, but Abraham trusted God, and then what? Verses 1 and 2, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. You notice his attitude throughout this whole chapter. Read the whole chapter and find how many times Abraham says that. Abraham trusted God. Here I am, he said, take your son. God says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. And as you read through the chapter, you see Abraham go. As far as we can tell, without hesitation. In verse 6, we see him leave his company. He takes the wood for the offering, has his son carry that, and it says there he took in his hand the fire and the knife. Abraham's serious about what's going to happen here, and it says both of them went together. Isaac realizes, where's the sacrifice? And what does Abraham say? When says Isaac calls him again, he says, here I am. He asks about that, and he said, in verse 8, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And so they both went together. And when he came to the place that God had told him, he built an altar there. He laid wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10 is pivotal here, and it's what I hope that you'll see with me. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. I have no doubt as I read this here, Abraham was ready to do exactly what God had asked him to do. Put yourself as a parent, as a grandparent, as someone important in your life, put yourself in that position and tell me, can I trust God? Abraham did. I don't know what he was thinking at this point exactly, but he trusted that A, God was going to fulfill his promise to him, B, that he had the ability to do that, and C, that he needed to do just what God told him to do. And that's what Abraham was going to do. Abraham trusted God. Can I trust God? If Abraham was willing to do this, if God had built up so many things and shown him so many things and led him in the way that he had and fulfilled all of the things that he had said he was going to do thus far, to the point that Abraham had a knife in his hand and was ready to take the life of his only son, I can trust God. If Abraham did, I certainly can. Hebrews bears that out for us in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who he had received the promises, was in the act of offering his only son. Hebrews verifies that for us. Of whom it was said, through Isaac your offspring shall be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham trusted God. What about Noah? Noah trusted God as well. Here's a shorter example, but consider what's happened here and what the verses tell us. We know the story, what God told Noah to do, what had and hadn't happened on the earth yet at this point in time. We're given some information, but not every single detail. What we do know is this. God said, in 7 days, I'm going to send rain for 40 days and for 40 nights, and every living thing that I've made will be blotted out from the face of the ground. This is going to happen, Noah. You've not seen anything like it, in whatever capacity that means. You've not seen something like this. I want you to do this. And over time, Noah's relationship with God had been such that he trusted him, and he did it. And what God said was going to happen, happened. The rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And you go back to Hebrews 7 again, and here's what we've learned about Noah. Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, what does it say? In reverent fear, constructed the ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Faith and trust go hand in hand. He acted on the faith that he had. If Noah trusted God, I can trust God as well. I mean, really, what is my alternative? My alternative is to trust in man. Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. When it talks about horses and chariots, we don't have those things really to trust in today, but you can replace those with other things that we put our trust in. Cars or houses or jobs or people or positions or power, whatever it is. But the writer says, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We read this verse 8 a few minutes ago, better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Can I trust God? Absolutely. My alternative is to trust in humanity or in myself. And we've seen that that's not going to work. That's not going to provide the things that we need for eternity. Many sorrows are of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts the Lord. So those two questions hand in hand. Should I trust God? Can I trust God? But that brings us to the hardest question of all this evening. And we'll spend the last few minutes just talking about that together. And that question is, do I trust God? Do I trust in the Lord? Now, if you're like me, and you're sitting here this evening, you've made a decision to come together with the saints and to gather and to worship him and to commit your life to him, the answer to this question that you want to say just as I do is yes. Yes, I do. I trust in the Lord. But let's think about what that means. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves some other questions and make sure that we are really doing what we are wanting to do and what we're saying that we're doing. We understand, first of all, that there is no fear in real trust. What do we mean by that? Trust and fear are opposites. When we really fear, we are not fully trusting. When we trust, fear gives way to assurance. Fear is tormenting. How many times are there those who are agitated by fear? There's lots of things for us to be afraid of, but complete trust in God takes away fear. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm never going to be startled. That doesn't mean that I'm never going to be disturbed by things that happen to me here on earth. If I were in a situation and this country changes and I have to stand and confess Jesus Christ and know that my life is coming to an end, or I'm going to have to watch my family's life come to an end because of that confession, I'm not going to say that it's going to be something that I just probably calmly in my mind accept. That's going to be very difficult. But there's a difference between being so afraid that I can't do anything and trusting in God. So as we consider that, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. And here's that idea again, what can man do to me? This is the kind of trust that Peter and John had, the kind that took away fear, in the sense of when you think in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, as the gospel has spread, and they're going out and they're teaching, and they're put in prison on more than one occasion, and they're told, don't speak about this again. Your life is in jeopardy if you do so. And their answer, we ought to obey God rather than men. How do you say that? We read it so easily because it's not happening to us. But if the police or the FBI or the ATF or whoever it is came through that door this evening and grabbed a hold of some of you, and said, you're being prejudicial in what you're teaching. You shouldn't be saying those kinds of things that are in the Bible. You're coming with us. You're going to prison. We don't want you talking about those things anymore. How do you get past that? Well, you've got to have the trust that we've talked about. If you truly trust, then you can put that fear aside. You can realize that maybe I'll spend some time in jail. Maybe I'll lose what I have. Maybe my life will change for the rest of the time that I'm here on earth. But like Peter and John, we ought to obey God rather than men, because eternally, what can man do to me? Nothing. And that's what we need to remember as we think about, do I trust in God? As you consider that, remember that trust frees us from worry. And we get worried about a lot of things. I have some things on my mind that I'm getting ready to face tomorrow. It's the end of the month. It's not a fun time for me and my job. Some of you have other things that you face that you're going to work tomorrow, and we like to think about those things, and we try to decide how we're going to fix them or what we're going to work out with them, the different things that we're going to face. And there are things that we have to do here. There are responsibilities that we have. God has told us to be responsible and work unto the Lord and to take care of our families and all of those things. But when we get caught up in those things such that the anxiety and the worry is paralyzing and we can't spend time doing things for God, then we're really not trusting in Him. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, Paul writes in this joyous book to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, and he tells us how to deal with it, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. The power of praying together is something that is helpful. That's one of the things that I think Paul is pointing to here. Supplication on behalf of someone else. Thanksgiving for what you have. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus taught the same thing when he was here. We're familiar with Matthew 6 and all of the things that he told them not to worry about, and gave descriptions of how God takes care of all that he has created. But verse 31, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Those are the things that we still worry about today. I worry about them too sometimes, but when they consume us, we're not trusting in God. When they're changing how our life is going for the worse, we're not trusting in God. And verse 34, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So trust frees us from worry. But also trust keeps us from murmuring and from bitterness. Now, when you consider some examples in the Bible, probably the first thing that you think about when you think about murmuring is the children of Israel. And really put your mind in that place and understand what happened to them. They should have trusted in God. And had they been asked by other nations, here are the people of God, do you trust in the Lord? They probably would have said, yes, we do. We're following this pillar of fire throughout the night, this pillar of cloud throughout the day. But when they got hungry, when they couldn't see the way out, when they didn't know what's going to happen, when they saw the giants and how are we going to overtake these, what's going to happen to us, why are we out here in the wilderness, they didn't trust in God. And what started happening? The murmuring, the complaining, the bitterness. And that can happen to us. If that's happening to you in your life, are you really trusting in God? Do you find yourself bitter about the circumstances that you find your life in and the things that are around you? Do you find yourself constantly talking negatively about other people and about how others are doing things to you and about what's happening to you and why is this happening? Are you really trusting in God? All of us are going to walk a different life. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But all of us can serve God. You think about some of these verses as Job's friends talked with him about what was happening. When our trust is in earthly things, then things don't go like they could go if we put our trust in God. He asks this question, can papyrus grow where there is no marsh? Can reeds flourish where there is no water? While yet flower and not cut down, they wither before any other plant. Such are the paths of all who forget God. And that's what I hope you'll take away from that. The hope of the godless will perish. His confidence is severed, and his trust a spider's web. You've walked through them like I have. They're destroyed easily. That's not where we need to put our trust. And if we do that, murmuring and bitterness and complaining is what we will find. But rather, when we think about what Peter writes here in 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, about why we ought to put our trust in God and the glorious thing that comes with that. It talks about Jesus, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. God knew what we were going to need. He knew that we needed to put our trust in him. And it was made manifest, it says, in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Not in this world, not in what's happening right immediately before you. Your faith and your hope are in God. You can trust in him. And he talks about what happens when we do that. Purifying our souls, obeying God, loving each other sincerely. And that gives us then the imperishable crown. Trust brings us confidence. we strive to be grounded in something, trust in God brings us confidence. We looked at this verse a little earlier in Isaiah about trusting in God that he is the everlasting rock. Look here in Psalm 91. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. If you want to have confidence in what you can do and where this life will take you, there is no one who can win more than God. We talked about that last year. In the end, God wins. I want to be on his side. Do I really trust in God if I'm not very confident about what's happening in this life because of what happened to me at work, or so-and-so doesn't like me very much, or this is my lot in life and I'm going to have to deal with this for the next 30 or 40 or 50 years? God is my rock and my fortress. That's where I'm headed. I'm trying to head home. My confidence needs to be in him. And also, we see that trust implies something. It implies submission, it implies obedience, and it implies patience. When we consider that we're going to give ourselves to God, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, what does Paul beg us, beseech us, ask us, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. If you trust him, then you're going to submit to him. You're going to give yourself to him. And that's not a light thing to say. It's a sacrificial thing to say, as Paul bears out. It means that we'll obey him. He tells us in Philippians that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling before him, and understand, like he says in verse 13, that God works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And it's going to take patience. It's going to take endurance. Trust implies that we have to have that. We don't always know what God has planned for us. Joseph didn't know what God had planned for him. Paul didn't know. Abraham didn't know. Job didn't know. John the Baptist didn't know completely what was going to happen and how his life was going to end, but they had patience. They endured. And as he says here in Hebrews 10 and verse 36, those who are going to face persecution soon, to the Hebrews he says, you have need of endurance. So when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Let's have a couple of concluding thoughts and kind of put this together as we think about, do I trust in the Lord? There are many people here tonight who are godly people. I try to be a godly person, and I know that many of you do as well. But I can also look back into the Bible and see godly men, good men, who sometimes forgot or failed to trust God when they should have. And you see what happened. Help us look at that so that we can learn from that. I think about Moses. Moses was revered by the Jewish nation. Moses was a godly man. He saw so many things that God did. But what do you remake of this verse that we read here in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12? But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I give them. You remember what happened? God said, speak to the rock and provide the water to the complaining children of Israel. And what did Moses do? He struck the rock, along with what he said. Why did he do that? Have you ever thought about that? Why did Moses do that? Of all the things that he had seen, was it because he didn't think God was powerful enough and he needed to do something else to make water come forth? No, I don't think that was it. We can think of lots of reasons as why, but ultimately, here's what it was. God says it. It's because he didn't trust him. Maybe Moses was angry with what was happening, and he felt the need to do something to show the people that, rather than trusting that God can deal with it. Trusting that God's plan and what he told him to do is good enough. And God will take care of their attitude and their complaining and their murmuring. We see that in different places. Think about Peter. John's gospel tells us that Peter was the one who drew his sword when Jesus was being arrested and cut off the ear of the servant. Why did Peter do that? Did he think that Jesus wasn't powerful enough to handle the situation? I don't think so. Peter had seen things that are indescribable. It was because he didn't trust in what was happening. How can this be part of the plan? You are the Son of God. This is one of our brothers that's betraying you. You're going to be taken by this government. This can't be the way this is going to go. And out comes the sword. He didn't trust that Jesus had been saying, this is what's going to happen. You can think about others like Elijah and Jonah who became overwhelmed with what was happening in their lives and cried out to God, why are you doing this? I'm the last one. Again, godly men, but they didn't trust in God at that moment. So let's end tonight with this. Just because we have become Christians or because we honor God, sometimes we don't trust in Him as we should. And we want to change that. We want to look at all of these things we examined tonight and realize that I need to trust in God. I should trust in God. I can trust in God. And I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow or this week or this year. Certainly we see amongst our brethren unexpected things happen, things that we weren't planning on. When that moment comes for you, are you going to trust in the Lord? And are you going to give yourself to His purpose? I hope that you will, and I hope you can be encouraged to do so by the things that we have read tonight. When you think about your standing before God tonight, is there something that you need to change? Do you need to give yourself to Him in a different way to show that you are living a life that you trust Him? Do you need us to pray with you about that and to help you with that and to encourage you in that way? Do you need to come down this aisle for the very first time and offer your life in submission to God by being baptized into Christ? If you understand what that means, we want to help you with that as well. Trust in the Lord. If we can help you with any of those things in any way tonight, would you let us know how by coming to the front while we sing this song?